This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Westwood One NCAA Tournament Radio Network. Aloha, Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen with you. CC back with us tomorrow. Sweet 16 has been set. 12 of the top 16 seeds are in. Did you have a Sweet 16, by the way?
Like a birthday?
Like a Sweet 16 party.
No. I was the first person in line to get my license at the DMV because I'm a full year younger than all of my friends. So I couldn't drive for a long time. I was a passenger princess. So I couldn't wait to get my license.
So at 16 years old, you hit 16 and you went to the DMV immediately.
On my birthday. Day one, I could get the license. That was my Sweet 16.
All right, good for you.
Yeah, no, I didn't. Why, did you have a Sweet 16?
No.
I don't know. You asked I assumed that you had one.
I think, and I'm not trying to divide by gender here. I don't care what people do. But I think historically, it has been more females than males that have Sweet 16 parties.
I don't think any of my friends really had big blowout Sweet 16 parties.
I can't remember ever going to one. Maybe that says more about me than
Were you just not invited?
Probably. Probably. I mean, that makes a lot of sense,
kidding,
actually.
I'm kidding, obviously.
I'm not, obviously. All right, so 12 of the top 16 teams are in.
Boring.
Go ahead.
Go on.
No, you go.
You don't find that boring, 12 of the top 15 are in?
No, it's great, Smalls.
Why is that great? This is not what this tournament is about. It's not about dominance. It's about underdogs. It's about the unexpected happening, Evan. And this is as expected as can almost possibly be, with an 11 seed NC State sneaking in there as the air quote Cinderella of this year's tournament.
You just said something very interesting. Is chalk actually expected? I don't think so. I think this is unexpected, actually. I think you can make the argument that seeing 12 of the top 16, that 15-1 are the favorites from over the weekend, that the only double-digit seed is an ACC team, that the margin of victory at 16.1 points per game on Saturday and Sunday in the round of 32, actually, that's unexpected. Expected would be the Cinderellas. I actually think this tournament is more unexpected than any other tournament in recent memory because we don't have a Cinderella.
Really?
Yes.
But usually once you get to the Elite Eight, maybe, but definitely the Final Four in the national championship game, those top seeds usually find their way. Water will find its level. So usually you have more of the top seeds that advance to that stage. But to be in the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and NC State be the one Cinderella that we have to talk about, which, you know, historically is a good program. They won the ACC tournament. Like, it doesn't feel the same Cinderella-y as some of these other teams. I just think it's lacking a little something this year.
Last year, we had number 5 Miami against number 4 UConn. We had number 9 FAU against number 5 San Diego State. We didn't even have any of the top 3 seeds in the Final Four. That is more, that's the norm, theoretically, historically, to have at least, you know, a few of those, right? If you look at the fact that we are always going to have some sort of Cinderella go somewhere, and this year, if NC State is the argument, then we don't necessarily have the Cinderella. So if the assumption is the NCAA, let's combine the assumptions. The assumption number one or two of the one seeds will find their way in, correct?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Assumption number two, we will have a Cinderella on the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, correct?
Usually, yes.
Okay, so we don't have assumption number two. So there is somewhat of a surprise this year. So last year's surprise is we didn't have a one. This year's surprise is we don't have a Cinderella. And I'll take this year over last year.
We are probably the two worst people to have this conversation because I love underdog stories. I love a team that comes out of nowhere, that overcomes obstacles, and we can all galvanize around. You love dominance. You love front running. You love the teams that are good being in a position to win.
Yes.
So we are diametrically opposed to what we find entertaining in this tournament.
Yes, I think that is fair, but I also think, like, when you say this is chalk is obvious that it doesn't normally happen this way. Like, when was the last time?
But that's what we expect. We expect the top seeds to advance.
I mean, we would have to go through this, and maybe I don't want to interrupt Pat watching Charmed. I think that's really it's not proper for me to do that.
He's very locked in.
But if we look back at Cinderellas, when was the last time we didn't have a Cinderella? Like, I don't know the answer to that question. And that's why this weekend, to me, is shaping up to be one of the best weekends we've ever seen in college basketball, at least in recent memory, because of the fact that it's the teams that were good in November, December, January, February, and March are going to be playing in March and April. Not the like NC State is the outlier. NC State got good late in the season. I love this. This is exactly the way in which I think it should be when you have 12 of the top 16 teams playing in the NCAA tournament this late in the season, because it reflects every other sport, basically. Those that are best during the regular season having an opportunity to play and perform in the postseason, having an opportunity to then win it all. Not a team that gets hot, right? And I understand that, you know, we've seen teams get hot that weren't great all year. Miami Heat last year, NBA Finals, right? The team I root for, like, they were actually particularly bad last year, got hot at the right time, and made it to the NBA Finals. Doesn't feel like a Cinderella because you saw them there a couple of years prior to that against the Lakers, right? But that
the Chiefs were not good during the regular season.
They were not good for
but
them.
But I was just going to say, but they're still the Kansas City Chiefs, so you can't call that a Cinderella either.
Right. They were, but there's no such thing as a Cinderella in professional sports.
Which is why we love this tournament, because it's the one postseason where deviation from what we normally see in sports is possible and happens often. It's what makes this special.
But Smalls, then you're just actually saying what you like about the NCAA tournament is that we don't crown the right champion every year.
Says who?
Says you.
If you can get through this gauntlet of a tournament, I think you're a deserving champion.
But, okay, so UConn last year is absolutely a deserving champion. They were a four seed. Right? Crowning the right champion means one of the one or two seeds that likely have been good all year continue to be good and perform at the level that they performed in November, you know, December, January, February, and March into March and April here. Like, that is what crowning the right champion, the most deserving champion. There is no sport that crowns a less deserving champ than the NCAA basketball.
Less
on the men's side.
Okay, so our teammate Chris Canty won a Super Bowl, right? That Giants team was not the best team during the regular season.
Yeah, outlier.
So do you think that they were not a deserving champion?
I think they absolutely were. I think that's an outlier. But if you're thinking back when he played, that was a five or six team tournament, not a 68 team tournament, right? And I understand it's based on percentage of teams, six of, you know, 16 or whatever it is. But the reality is, like, I don't believe that there is a such thing as a Cinderella story in professional sports. It's only in college.
And what? I've seen them.
What would be the Cinderella stories?
The Cardinals were 10 and a half games out in 2011. They were down to their last strike twice. And a guy who got called up from Memphis and David Freese got hot at the right time and was the hero.
And how many teams made the playoffs that year?
That's an underdog Cinderella story.
Underdog, sure. Cinderella, no.
Cinderella. They were 10 and a half games out.
But they made it. Like, that's the thing. They made it in. And there was only four or five teams in the year you're talking. It was 06 you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about 11.
11. But the reality is there's only four or five teams that actually make it in. In the NCAA tournament, there's so many teams that make it in that it's the only one that truly, to me, has a Cinderella. And the fact that we are absent of one this year, I think is great because it means we are going to crown the right champion. I can't imagine that come April 7th or whatever it is, whatever the date is, the national championship game, that we are going to sit there and we're going to have a champ that was not good all year. That's why I liked what's going on right now.
But I don't know how you can say that the champion would be undeserving if it wasn't a top seed, just because they maybe during the season had to find their calibration period to get to where they want to go. The fact that you get into this tournament, you don't know who your opponent is, you have a quick turnaround where you have to prepare, it is survival of the fittest. I think this is such an incredibly difficult run and so hard to become a champion in this tournament, in this sport, that whoever outlasts the teams that they're dealt is more than deserving of being the champion.
This year, for sure. This year more than most.
Because of top seeds?
Yes, because they're going to play. So the combination of the gauntlet that you're talking about, plus within the gauntlet, the teams are going to be insanely competitive as they've been all year long. Not teams that got hot at the right time with the right matchups. Teams that, regardless of the month that you would face them in, would be very good. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Small says that we are the two worst people to have this argument because we are on opposite ends of the spectrum. Cinderella's, good or bad for the NCAA tournament. We have really none of them left. NC State would be the one that would be the closest to it, but I think both of us are in agreement that it is harder to get mentally wrapping your mind around the idea of an ACC team as a Cinderella. Cinderella story, but not Cinderella team?
Yes, I think that's fair.
Jerome in North Carolina, listening on 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh. What's up, Jerome?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Morning.
I'm just going to argue that. I would say NC State is, again, a Cinderella team, not just a story. The last time we did it is 83. Yes, I'm a state alum. But in 83, we won. 10 years ago, before that, we had just won the tournament again. And the ACC was a power conference even back then in basketball. Let's be real about it. In fact, NC State was a strong team throughout college basketball. We're the ones who knocked off UCLA. So to say that it's that much different now than last time, it's kind of the same thing. 10 years ago, we were into Sweet 16. Here we are again. It's not – we're Cinderella. I mean, let's be real. We're beating teams. We got to go up against the best.
Jerome, wait a second. Wait a second. You just referenced Sweet 16 appearances, the title with Valvano. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, let's do that with FAU now. Then let's do that with Butler. Then how about Florida Gulf Coast? These are schools that's Cinderella. This NC State has a Cinderella story this year.
No, but 83, we even said, right, they're the Cinderella team because how they had to get in. They had to win to even get into the tournament, right? They had no chance. They were not supposed to be there. They were up against Houston, five-time gym. No chance. That's what made it Cinderella. At the end of the thing, we're the ones say the only team that actually said the glass slipper fits, right? That team was Cinderella. This team here, again, like the caller earlier said, on a four-game losing streak going into the ACC tournament, played our way out of the big dance. Not first four out, not second four out, last four out. We weren't even in the conversation. It wasn't a conversation that said, if NC State got to the ACC championship game and lost, they could be in. No, they had
to win. And their head coach could get fired. Like, listen, everything you're saying, and thanks for the phone call, is fair. I guess let me look at it this way. 20 years from now, if North Carolina State gets to the Final Four and we look back on Wikipedia and go through the Final Four, You'll roll past that because you won't even like, oh, NC State got to the Final Four. You just assume ACC team. When you look at last year and you see Florida Atlantic.
Yes.
Or you see Butler 2 years in a row. Or you
San
see
Diego State.
San Diego.
Well, they're, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Debatable on them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you see George Mason in 06, you are going to stop and say, I'm sorry, what? What? Who was? They got to the Final Four? You're not going to do that with NC State. Sure. The tangible facts may lead us to believe that they are a Cinderella story, but an ACC team as a Cinderella is not – I don't want to speak for you. I don't believe that is what you're talking about when you're saying Cinderellas. You want a school that you've never
Oakland.
Heard of.
I want Oakland.
Yeah. You don't know where it is. You don't know the town it's in. You can't name an alum. You learn the head coach in March. You're not sitting there saying, yeah, Jimmy V school.
Yeah.
There's a difference. Coming up, today is a big day in Major League Baseball, not because of anything on the field. We'll get to that next. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Today is the day Shohei Ohtani scheduled to address the media for the LA Dodgers. Hello, I'm Michelle Smallman. Evan Cohen with you. CC back with us tomorrow. It's Unsportsmanlike presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, what do you need to hear today? What do you need to hear from Ohtani today?
Some answers.
To what questions, I guess, specifically?
I want to know if he has ever bet specifically on baseball, but on sports in general. I want to know when and how he became aware of the money missing from his account and how this person, Mizuhara, his interpreter, was able to get the money from his account without his prior knowledge or his cooperation. Because that's the thing that really stumbles me up on all of this. I would imagine when sums of money of that magnitude are being moved from accounts, there are checks and balances from the banks, from financial advisors. So how was this person able to take this money from your account without your knowledge?
question on this. What happens to him if he just says the following today? And I don't think he's going to say this, but I'm just curious as to what happens. He basically says, this is my bad. I made a terrible mistake. This guy that has been really good to me for a long period of time got in some gambling debt. He asked me for some money to get him out of it. I am fortunate enough to have earned a lot of money in my life. I've made a lot of money. This guy's been great to me, and I wanted to help him out of this gambling debt. If he just said that, what actually happens to him? Like, does he get arrested? I'm being serious. Because he would knowingly have paid money through a wire transfer to an illegal bookmaker.
Yes, and I think that that is where the big, if that is in fact what happened.
And I'm not saying it is. I'm asking what happens if he says that, because that has been.
Because you still have a direct connection to an illegal bookmaker. It's not as if he just gifted this sum of money to a person who then at their discretion used the funds to go to the bookmaker, right? Wasn't it a direct transfer from Ohtani to the bookmaker?
So then,
isn't that what the
I believe so. I believe that is what has been reported. So then the flip side of that would be he has to deny that all, right? He has to say, I had nothing to do with this. And then the person that he's been close with for all of this time, he will be the one sending him to jail. In essence, right?
Yes, but if his story is correct, that this person stole $4.5 million from him, that is the course of action that should be taken. If it's a massive fraud,
right,
and he really did take this money illegally from Shohei Ohtani, that's the consequences of those actions.
Dave Roberts is the manager of the LA Dodgers. He spoke to the media yesterday about the fact that Ohtani will address reporters today.
I think it's good. I think it's the right thing to do, and I'm happy he's going to speak to what he knows and give his thoughts on the whole situation. I think it'll give us all a little bit more clarity.
So, okay, give us a little bit more clarity. He'll speak to the media. Small as your gut feeling, does he take questions today?
So the phrasing of this indicates that he will, because it says Shohei Ohtani is going to make himself available to reporters. And in my experience in covering baseball, when they say a player is available, that is for a media scrum where reporters assemble and they get to ask questions of this player. Now, conversely, when it's a press conference, it will say something like you'll get the text from PR that will say scheduled press conference 3 p.m. Central Time. He at this spot.
Tony La Russa will be speaking your case when you're
Tony La Russa presser 3 p.m. Central Time at Busch Stadium.
He'll have a statement on the retirement of Albert Pujols.
Yes, something of that nature. So based on the wording of this, I am led to believe that reporters will be asking questions, but I can't imagine that that's the best situation for Shohei Ohtani to be in. If I was if I was part of the team, I would have him give a statement through the new interpreter and be like, this is what he has to say. He wanted to clear his name, but this is an active investigation and there are certain details of this that he cannot share, and we don't want to put him in a bad situation where he could say anything through an interpreter that could get him into trouble or that could be misconstrued in any way.
So then based on everything you're saying, my gut feeling is what happens is he makes that statement. He denies any kind of any wrongdoings here. He says he does not have ever – he never bet on baseball or sports in general, that this is an ongoing investigation and that he's not going to comment on the interpreter. Then the reporters are going to follow up with a million questions and he's going to say, guys, this is an ongoing investigation. I can't comment on that.
That's what he should do.
Right, but then it's like, what's the point of this then?
Because
just to say he took questions?
Because I think at this point, if you're Shohei Ohtani, you kind of feel like you have to make a statement, because even though this probably won't give us the answers that we're looking for and it will only raise more questions and I think shine a bigger spotlight on all of this, he's in a position where he at least has to try to silence this a little bit.
But here's the thing, Smalls. A week ago, if Shohei Ohtani was meeting, or 2 weeks ago, if Shohei Ohtani was meeting with the media, we'd have a million questions about how is your arm? How are you feeling?
Right.
Will you be able to play the field?
Correct.
Now, any single person that asks an on-field baseball question is just wasting time. Respectfully, nobody cares about the on-field.
Right.
We just want to know whether or not the best player in this sport and the most unique player literally in the history of this sport bet on baseball. That's what everyone wants to know. And I'm not suggesting he did. I'm suggesting the only thing in regards to this specific person that people care about is whether or not he had any involvement with the interpreters gambling on a sport illegally through a bookmaker in the state of California where there is no legal gambling. That's it. That's the only thing that people care about. They don't care about the Dodgers lineup. They don't care about them winning the World Series. They want to know, is he going to even be eligible to play 162 games this year?
That right there is a $4.5 million question.
Unintended.
Did you bet on baseball? Okay. Did you bet on other sports?
And if he... Okay, let's go through this. Did you bet on baseball? If the answer is anything else but a one-word no, how are you going to take that?
That we have some more questions. Like, if I'm Major League Baseball and it's anything other than an emphatic no, period, that means that this is going to be a bigger problem for them. Not to say that it won't be anyway, because just because he says no doesn't mean that the investigation won't uncover something else.
Now, Nuno, our producer, has an interesting question about this. Go ahead, Nuno.
So, obviously, we're assuming he's spoken to his lawyers and whatever he's going to say.
I would hope so.
He's going to be, well, oh, I don't know. I don't know, right? Like, $4.5 million just disappeared from his account. So, it doesn't seem like he talks to professionals. But can he truly give a definitive answer on any of these questions based upon... It's an ongoing investigation.
So what do you? So if he's asked, like, hey, if you bet on baseball?
Yeah. Can you? If you say no, and then it's just like, okay, you didn't, and then it comes out that you did, then you, right? You're in trouble there. And
right.
If you say, well, like, if he says, oh, I can't answer that question, it's an ongoing investigation, it allows people to recklessly speculate that he did, right? Or that there's something else nefarious going on here.
All right, so correct me if I'm wrong. Basically, what you're saying is when he's asked directly, did you bet on baseball, you need his answer, if you're his attorney, to basically be, I'm waiting for all the information to find out the results of what happened here. In essence, am I the one responsible for betting on baseball? If someone stole money from my account and placed a bet in my name with my money on baseball, to me, that's not you betting on baseball. That's someone taking your – if Smalls walked away and I took your money and I went to ESPN Bet and I made a bet, that's not you betting on it. That's me betting on it with your money. But the problem is, in this case, people are not going to believe he has nothing to do with it, even if he has nothing to do with it. I would have thought, I mean, Nuno brings up an interesting point, Smalls. I would have thought when asked, did you bet on baseball, simply saying no would be allowed, but maybe legally that's not the answer you can give.
But then why are you making a statement at all?
That's a great question. That's what we have to see. What is he actually going to say today? I know what Smalls is going to say, that she's very excited about our next guest, the head coach of her Fighting Illini.
Let's go.
Her second team. She's a Yale grad. Brad Underwood, scheduled to join us next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are moments away from Smalls just rubbing it in to all of our faces that her school is still alive. Mine's not. Wisconsin, CC is out today, but his Virginia team is gone. Your Illini team, last one standing on this show.
And boy, am I proud.
Yeah,
I am proud of my school. I am proud of my coach. The fact that they advanced to the Sweet 16, I mean, it's the first time since 2005. This is a big deal for Illinois. They've had a lot of talent, a lot of success.
They never advanced to the Sweet 16 with, like,
no,
some of the other great teams that they had? I didn't even realize that.
I believe it's since 2005.
That is remarkable. Well, you are an Illinois grad. You love your school. You love your head coach. And what's not to love right now as they're in the Sweet 16, the Fighting Illini, they are going up against Iowa State in the East region in Boston, Smalls.
Yes, they are. Do we have Coach with us?
We
is he here? Okay, well, I am so pleased to welcome to the show the head coach of one of the most exciting teams in college basketball right now, Illinois Fighting Illini. They advanced to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2005 after a dominant performance over Duquesne. Coach Underwood, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. I know you're very busy with prep work for Iowa State, but my first question for you, Coach, are you as upset with the 10 p.m. Eastern time tip-off as I am for your Sweet 16 matchup versus Iowa State?
Well, Michelle, first of all, ILL.
I, Coach. And,
absolutely. And, yeah, I'm usually in bed like 2 hours, you know, by then. I mean, last night I was so tired when we got home, I was in bed at 8 o'clock. So I feel like a power nap about mid-afternoon is going to be a big part of getting through the 10-10 start.
Yeah, that's going to be rough. And how do you prepare your team for that late of a start? Because they have their game day routine, their rhythm. That has to be a little bit disruptive for them as well, no?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be too bad. I think if we can't get up for a Sweet 16 game, no matter what time it's played, then we've got bigger issues. But I get it. It's East Coast. It's prime time. And, you know, we'll figure it out.
Well, Coach, obviously, we got Michelle here, who's a huge Illinois fan as a grad. I'm a Wisconsin grad, so this is a little bit odd for me. But congratulations, obviously, on a great run so far. For those who haven't seen your team play, why is Illinois still alive in the Sweet 16?
Yeah, I think we've got a unique team. I think we're number one in the country right now offensively. I think we've got a bunch of guys who can really score. We're a little bit of a different team in terms of we don't play what you would consider a traditional point guard. We're a team that really starts five power forwards. We play booty ball. You know, we're not a team that, you know, is get the ball side to side to side. We're a little different than that. We're very fast in transition. Terrence Shannon has been electric. So, we've got some guys who can really score and for most of the year have been really good defensively. So, yeah, we've been able to survive because of those things.
Coach, I was at a watch party over the weekend in New York City, a bunch of Illinois grads there, and we were having this conversation, and I would love to bring you into it as the expert in this subject matter. But you've had so much talent during your time at Illinois. You've had a lot of teams that were worthy of being in this position, but it just feels different this year. What is different about this team to get to the Sweet 16 compared to a lot of the other talented teams you've had in years past?
Yeah, Michelle, we had the team that was a one seed with Io DeSumo, who's having a great pro career, Kofi Coburn. But I think the one thing that's this team's deep. We're really old. I think one of the challenges that team had was we had not been in the tournament in years. And that team didn't understand maybe what I term the abruptness of the end. If you play bad, you go home. And that team was lacking in experience. You know, this team's older. This team has a great connectivity. They're really, really good people. You enjoy being around them, and they have a lot of fun. And then I think we're very diverse. I think we can play a lot of different ways. We can play really big. We can put five out shooting around there. We can play in the half court if you want to, or we can play really fast. So that's something we've really tried to work hard on in the recruiting process, is being a little more diverse as we move into postseason play.
Along with Fighting Illini alum Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen here on Unsportsmanlike with Brad Underwood, the head coach at Illinois. You mentioned really old. That is, it's where I was going to go. It's such an interesting thing. Hawkins on your team, Shannon, these are big-time contributors that are really old. I say old, like they're a million years younger than us. But that has become a trend in college basketball. Is that the goal now, to get as old and eligible as possible in your sport?
Yes. Very simply, yes. The COVID year, when they gave everybody that extra year, you've got the widest discrepancy ever in college sports in terms of you've got sixth and seventh year guys now that are playing. They're 25 years old, playing against 18-year-olds. The experience factor, it's very hard to find freshmen that are good enough to help you win. They're good enough to play, but are they good enough to help you win? And so it's really challenging that way. You know, we get a young man in Marcus Demosk who comes from Southern Illinois, who's a 2000 point scorer. You know, and he's a guy that has seen everything. And so his experience is, you know, 4 years in the weight room. All of that stuff just leads to a wide discrepancy in terms of youth versus age.
Coach, you also mentioned one of the characteristics of this team is the fun that you're having. So I want to talk about some of the fun viral moments that Illinois has had so far in the tournament. The super soakers, the synchronicity with the pushing of the chairs and the handshakes. How much fun is this team having right now?
Well, that's, I think, the whole key. I think I've surrounded myself with a bunch of young guys, younger guys on my staff that have helped me not be so serious. And, we could be third graders at times, you know, the super soaker water gun fight and getting doused with water. And, you know, it's pretty cool to walk in the locker room after doing an interview and somebody's handing you a super soaker and goggles. And, instead of getting the bath all the time, it was nice to be able to, return the favor. But, we got to have fun. Marcus Demas, Coleman Hawkins, you know, they've started the handshake deal line and pushing the chairs in, and it's just having fun. I mean, they're young men, but they're kids at heart, and they're having fun with an unbelievable experience and something they'll never forget. And I told them before this all started, the one thing I wanted them to do was when they reconvene in 20 years and 25 years or whenever it is, and they bring everybody back here for reunion, I want them to talk about how much fun they had, and not just the wins, but how much fun they had, and remember those moments.
Coach, because of the nature of the sport now, which is ridiculous that the NCAA opened up the transfer window before the actual season ends here, do you simultaneously have to worry about this year's team and next year's team?
I'm worrying about this year's team. My staff can worry about next year's team. They actually called me yesterday. One of my staff members asked me about somebody in the portal, and I told him to leave me alone. I was going to take a nap. this is insane doing it at this time of year, in my opinion. I know there's no probably perfect calendar time, but, we've got people monitoring the portal constantly, and, we're not, oblivious to the fact that there's a lot of kids in it already. We're not going to relinquish this moment and the great timing that we're in with Illinois basketball and what this team is. I've said it, this team is special. This team's fun. I've enjoyed coaching this team more than any team I've had. I'm going to really try to embrace the moment and live it with these guys.
Well, up next, Coach, you have a tough matchup versus the 2 seed in Iowa State. Early in probably the scouting of this team as you get ready for Thursday, but what can you tell us about what you're prepared for that matchup?
Yeah, it's a rock fight. They're so good defensively. They're very handsy. They're very athletic. They've done an unbelievable job. TJ's just built that thing into a dynasty almost in terms of what he's doing. The defensive side, they're very, very talented. They're aggressive, and they've got a great point guard. So it's easy to see why they won the tournament. It's easy to see why they're a 2 seed, and we're going to have to play extremely well to win.
Coach Underwood, let's finish with this. If you guys end up in the Final Four, can Michelle Smallman join you? Can we get her on the team plane? I mean, can we get, like, how do we get her there as the most prominent Illini grad on ESPN?
Michelle, you're in. You've got a seat on the charter. We'll get you a hotel room. Absolutely.
Yes.
You find a way to get to Champaign. We'll make sure you're on the charter. We'll get you taken care of. We'll get you all decked out and all the new orange gear that you need. And we'd love to have you.
That would be a dream come true. I've already looked up flights to Phoenix Coast.
You don't have to worry about that.
But that's how much I believe in you and I believe in this team. So go out there and go get them on Thursday.
Just get to Champaign and we'll throw you on the charter.
Wild horses will not stop me. This will be my preemptive notice to work that I will be taking those days off.
Done and done. Smalls to the Final Four with Coach Underwood on the team plane if they get there.
Done.
Best of luck this weekend. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, Coach.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. There's Brad Underwood, head coach of Illinois. So we know who we're rooting for. You're going with them.
What a guy.
So if Illinois beats Iowa State, then most likely all you'll have to do is beat UConn.
Oh, is that all?
I mean, that should be easy.
If they take down Iowa State and UConn, they're going to win this tournament.
Who cares if they win? You're going on the team plane.
Can you imagine the content I will have from that? That will be a dream come true.
Did they give a plus one so Rob, our social and digital guy, can follow you?
He's going to have to fight a lot of people who would want to be the plus one. A lot of Illinois fans
We got to check the schedule, see if those days are available.
Oh, geez.
Wow. Nuno's going to deny your request. We just had the head coach of Illinois say you could fly on the team charter. And Nuno's going to say, nope, you got to work those days.
I'll be working, Nuno, just remotely.
It's an early show of Phoenix.
I don't care.
All right.
I'll make it happen.
We're Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time now for the Unsportsmanlike Moments of the Day. Hello, Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen with you. CC, back with us tomorrow. I have to start with this, which I didn't realize I was going to start with. Michelle Smallman just said, if Illinois wins the national championship, she would never emotionally recover from that.
I wouldn't. I don't think I would.
What do you mean? What does that even mean?
It means just that I think I would just be so overtaken with joy and shock and surprise, because this is my biggest sports heartbreak, Evan. The fact that Illinois lost in 2005 to North Carolina in the national championship game. I just kind of live in this perpetual state of fear and expected disappointment after you endure a sports heartbreak like that. So if they were able to win, finally push through.
Nothing else in the world would bother you, ever.
Probably not.
Yeah.
That seems like maybe the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard.
Perpetually happy.
No. Because listen, 2016, when Portugal won the Euro, that was that moment for me, right? Like, I still remember I actually produced those remotes for ESPN Radio. But then when I walked out of here, like, emotionally, I was drained and, like, actually started, like, cried in my car. Aww. But, like, I'm still a miserable fan.
Wait, I got to go back. Mm-hmm. So opportunity is opportunity. Finance, I get it. I would have thought in that moment, because you're such a big fan, that you would have turned down those opportunities to say, like, I don't want to work those games. I would rather watch at home with my family.
No, I figured that was, yes, but I think it was that moment where I was still trying to impress people, and I'm like, I got this. And
oh, you've given up since then.
No,
yeah, pretty much. But no, but it was that great, like, that just actually being able to say, hey, I worked those games for ESPN Radio when this happened, when they went on this magical run.
Okay, fair.
That's cool.
Fair. How are we doing with Charmed over there, Pat? Pat's clearly still watching Charmed.
They kill so many people in this show, and they just don't even think twice about it. It's insane.
Okay, great. All right. Unsportsmanlike moments of the day. So the owners' meetings are going on in Orlando. There's a lot of information that will come out about football stuff over the next 24 hours.
Yes.
But they always take the head coach's photo. It's always funny.
Love it.
So Mina Kimes put something out there. So first of all, Mike Reese has ESPN Patriots reporter, the photo of all the coaches. If you can get all 32 right just by looking at them, kudos to you. Some of these guys without the team issued gear, very hard to recognize. So Reese puts out the initial photo. Then Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL host, puts out which clique would you want to hang out with? The Shanna family, which is basically Kyle Shanahan, Kevin O'Connell, Sean McVay, and Matt LaFleur, mm-hmm. all Shanahan guys. So that's option one.
That's a pretty good squad right there.
Yeah, it's a good squad. Then he has the Bald Brothers, which would be the bald head coaches, which would include, I believe, Robert Saleh, who's also part of the Shanahan family, whatever you say there. You have Dan Quinn. You have Brian Daboll. You have all the bald guys.
Right.
Or the Harbaughs, John and Jim.
Hmm.
So which crew of the NFL photo would you want to hang out with? And wouldn't Mike McDaniel be part of the Shanahan family or whatever? Guys that have worked from that tree? The bald crew would be Quinn, Daboll, McDermott, Bowles. Who else here? I'm just looking at some of the other bald coaches. Antonio Pierce or Jim and John?
This is very tough because you could make a solid argument for any of the crews. I think I'm going Harbaugh's in this scenario because I think that, like, especially Jim is so quirky that I would love to see him interact with his brother in that way. So I think I would like an inside glimpse on the Harbaugh family.
Yeah, it's exactly where I go, but I do it maybe a little differently. I'd love to observe the Harbaugh family more than hanging out with the Harbaugh family.
Because you know it's going to be an intense competition way.
I would just like to sit here and watch whatever it is that they do with one another.
Would you wear khakis and drink milk? To fit in?
You know they would pick on you, right?
Like, they would totally pick on
him. They would pick on you. We could also ask their brother-in-law, because he does work for ESPN.
Tom Crean.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
How that goes for him.
That's right.
But I think any of the crews would pick on me, if that's what you're saying.
Yeah, no, some of the ball guys, like Saleh and Brian Daboll, they look like they're going through things, man. Like, they just, like, life is rough right now for them.
Yeah, it depends on what the...
D'Amico Ryan's bald. He's killing it right
Thriving.
Now.
Loving it.
Yeah.
D'Amico Ryans is doing
I mean, anybody
great.
Could be going through anything, but I mean, D'Amico Ryans...
From a football perspective,
is
life's
killing
pretty
it.
Good.
Yeah, you can't do better than that guy did in year one.
I guess what is the goal? Is it the best hang? Is it to emerge with the best story? Is it to surround yourself with what you deem to be the most interesting football minds? Because in that case, no disrespect to the other two crews, I think I'd want to go with the Shanahanley, or what are we calling them?
I don't know.
Whatever that is, that crew.
The Shanahan coaching tree.
Yeah, with McVay on the floor. Like, I would think we would learn a lot from that crew.
I think the Harbaughs, you'd watch them and be like, do you realize they each ordered turkey sandwiches, but they put ketchup on it, and they also ate the turkey sandwich after they had their dessert? Like, just weird things like that. Like, I think that Pat could literally spend weeks observing the Harbaughs and have I'm over it for multiple years.
Yeah.
7:45 a.m. Eastern Time, Pat does a segment where he tells us all the things in life that he's over. I feel like the Harbaughs, just observing them, would give him endless entertainment.
Pat would emerge with some material.
No question. All right, next one. This is from the Yale basketball team, right? So the Yale basketball team beat Auburn. They upset them. Obviously, they were eliminated since then. And normally when you're thinking about men's basketball, it's MBB.
Yes.
Well, so at Yale, MBB is actually the Yale Molecular Biophysics
and Twitter biochemistry handle. Account.
Yeah. So they actually tweeted out. So a million people, I guess, were tagging them with tweets about the Yale basketball team.
Because it says Yale MBB.
Correct.
Molecular biophysics and biochemistry.
So they tweeted out over the weekend, our notifications are blowing up with basketball tweets, but we are the Yale Molecular Biophysics and Biochemistry account. You might want to tag at Yale M Basketball instead. Bula Bula.
Michelle, is that what you got your degree in?
And what, molecular biophysics
and
biochemistry?
That's your school.
Yeah, your alma mater.
One of two.
Right.
One of two alma maters.
All right, last thing. So Pat Costello's birthday was on Friday.
Yes.
I texted him at 4:26 a.m.
You
just
did.
Throwing that
you
out
did.
There. And Pat, what happened to you this weekend with your Instagram?
I was looking at my, like, happy birthday, here's a recap of your year. And it was just one picture, and it was you from high school.
Just me.
It was Evan's high school football picture for some reason.
What?
I have no idea why.
Smalls, you are smart with social media. Can you explain this? Because Pat and I have been texting all weekend. We cannot figure this out. Why would his birthday wish be a singular picture of me in high school?
Are you looking at that photo a lot, Pat?
Ooh.
I don't think I've ever looked at it once. I don't know
why
it's on there.
Your phone would feed you that photo for your birthday. Unless you've visited that photo a lot. I don't know.
Interesting.
It's the only one.
He's stalking a little bit.
Creepy.
Greeny coming up next. We're on a Tuesday. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.